there's a mountain here before me, and I'm gonna climb it with strength not my own. And he's gonna meet me where the mountain beats me and carry me through, and carry me through, yeah. And there's a river.
It's Monday, September 5th, 2011. I'm Ben Bowden, and this is the First Baptist Daily, a daily podcast aimed at the understanding and application of God's Word. The Word of God is living and active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And one of the best exercises we can do to get a better grip on the Word of God is to continually revisit the big picture of God's Word. That's what we're in the middle of doing. Last week we looked at the pattern of the kingdom, the perished kingdom, the promised kingdom, and the partial kingdom. Now this started us out with creation and led us to where the people of God saw blessing and prosperity under the reign of David and then Solomon. But what we're going to see today is that the blessing and prosperity did not last. So we're calling today's chapter in the storyline of redemption the prophesied kingdom. After the death of King Solomon, civil war broke out, and the kingdom of Israel split into two parts, Israel in the north and Judah in the south. Now neither was strong. After 200 years of separate existence, the northern kingdom of Israel was destroyed by the Assyrians. The southern kingdom struggled on for another century, but then it too was conquered, and its inhabitants were taken into exile in Babylon. During this depressing period in their history, God spoke to the people of Israel and Judah through some prophets. A prophet was basically God's mouthpiece, those who proclaimed God's word to others. Now, there are two major themes of the prophets during this period, judgment and hope. First of all, we see the theme of judgment. God explained that they were being punished for their sin. Long sections in the prophetic books are devoted to the people's sin and announcing God's judgment against their sin. The people of Israel and Judah did not heed the warnings, so God, in fact, sent judgment. The Assyrians defeated Israel in 722 BC, and the Babylonians destroyed Jerusalem, and all the people of Judah were taken into exile by 586 BC. The prophets were screaming during this time that these things are not accidents. They are acts of God's judgment for their idolatry and sin. Now that's one theme. Now the other theme that we see in the prophets is hope. God still offered hope for the future. The prophets pointed forward to a time when God would act decisively through his king, the Messiah, to fulfill all his promises. And through the prophets, God promises, first of all, a servant. Isaiah 53:5-6 says, "He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us have turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." All right. Through the prophets, God promises not only a servant, but also the inclusion of nations. Isaiah 49:6 says, "I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth." All right. Through the prophets, God promises also a new temple. Ezekiel 40:48 says that clearly. Through the prophets, God also promises a new creation. Isaiah 65:17-18 says, "Behold, I will create new heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I will create. For I will create Jerusalem to be a delight and its people a joy." All right, through the prophets, God promises also a new covenant. Jeremiah 31:31 says, "The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah." Now, this is not saying that God is abandoning the old covenant, but rather fulfilling it through the new covenant, which is found in Jesus. All right. Through the prophets, God also promises a new king. Isaiah 9:6-7 says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forevermore. So we see the prophets constantly looking back and looking ahead. They look back and say, remember how good it was under Moses, David, and Solomon. Well, listen, it's going to be like that again in the future, but only better. There will be a new Exodus, a new covenant, a new nation, a new Jerusalem, a new temple, a new king, and even a new creation. After the exile, the remnant that was kept alive was brought back to the land. They rebuilt the temple, but they still longed for the glory they once knew under David. But God made it clear that the great time of salvation, where the great king would usher in the great kingdom, was still in the future. All right, that's where the Old Testament ends. It just stops right there, waiting for God's king to appear to introduce his kingdom. Now, we're going to turn the page tomorrow and look at the present kingdom. I hope we'll be able to feel the tension and the build-up to all the promises of God that are being put out there and how the people of God are longing for them to be finally fulfilled. And then a baby cries in a manger. And at that, everything changes. We know who this baby is. The baby's Jesus. And the reason we are living right now is to make his name great in all the earth. I'm Ben Bowden, and I'll meet you again tomorrow on the First Baptist Daily. There's a Savior here before me, and I'm gonna get